Sounds like it.
And this has been a crazy day.
Yeah?
Yeah, tomorrow will be the craziest of days, and then Sunday we're just leaving, unfortunately, so.
Yeah, we are too.
I think everybody's pretty much leaving on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's kind of how that works, right? Yeah.
There are some people that do leave on Monday.
Yeah.
Because Jen gave us this room, Jen Genisodes Jen, well, ex-Genisodes Jen, she gave us this room, it was booked through Monday, because she always books it through Monday.
Oh, wow. Okay. We, for some of the cons we do, yeah, we stay the next night and then go, but since we're driving, and my wife and I used a bunch of our vacation time this year for our honeymoon, so...
It's actually very tight.
And then I was like, man, I'm gonna have to drive 10 hours on Sunday and then go to work Monday. So I kind of put in for it, but I'm just gonna play that one by.
Right. Oh, that's hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
hard.
Yeah. This is the first year I've taken Monday off, and I'm glad.
Because every year you're pissed that I took Monday off.
Right. I normally do. It's just this year everything has been tight because you know I can borrow from the end, but I'm like, well, now okay, so Thanksgiving's one less day, Christmas is one less day. That's the other thing. It gets tricky.
Yep.
So.
No. Of course. Probably okay.
Yep, they were for you. That was the point.
Yeah, I'm not doing really good on my bingo card,
though.
I haven't ran it. Yeah, I'm at, so, Blindfold Games I got today. So I got them. And that's really about it. So, yeah. But it's also, there's just so many of us here, which is good. It's a very positive thing, but everyone's busy and trying to run around.
Yeah.
So we've got three sessions tomorrow, and we technically have one on Sunday, but I'm thinking about just telling the guys that I can't do it, because 8 a.m. on a Sunday doesn't scream the time that people are going to show up.
Oh, yeah, that's hard.
No.
And I can get on the road an hour earlier,
so... Yeah.
I also don't like the idea of getting up at 7 on Sunday to go run a game that no one's going to show up for.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little bummed, because I'm in the deathmatch, and so I'm pitching tomorrow morning, but... So I have to do a pitch to the judges, and then separately, I'm going to be interviewed by the film crew. So tomorrow morning is the pitch. My interview isn't until Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Oh, that's rough.
That sucks. I was hoping to be almost home by then.
Yeah.
You
know?
I probably will be.
Yeah. So, and that'll be for, I don't know if that's going to be half an hour or an hour or what.
And you know it won't be longer than an hour. So it's like I'm sitting here all day for an hour, which of course you don't want to miss.
No, of course not.
But
I can't miss it.
But
yeah, so my wife and I will just be kind of sitting around.
Yeah,
yeah.
It for me, it's always been, you know, some pecans we stay the last day, sometimes we leave the last day. Anytime I leave the day of the last day, something amazing happens. Anytime we stay, nothing happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Sounds about right.
So, but we are leaving, so anyone that's staying, prepare for amazing.
Well, there you go.
I hope so.
You might win.
I might win.
That would be amazing.
Well, prices are just are slashed on Sunday, though.
Yes.
That's
because no one wants to take it back.
No one wants to cart it all back.
Yeah. They just want to get rid of as much as they can.
Yep.
Yeah.
So as long as it's not the rare stuff that, you know, is gone the first day, you know.
Right.
Because people were telling me they were waiting in line for that Firefly game, and
yeah,
I'm just like,
I don't want to. Last thing I want to do is come to Gen Con and on day one go in there and then stand in the line for two hours.
That's
right.
There's not a single thing that I've ever wanted at Gen Con.
No game is that
me either.
That's me.
That's like how PAX East is. You know, we've done that a couple times now, and so we did press passes, which is a godsend. But we got in there, and you know, we're like, how long is the line? Because it looks kind of short. They're like, oh, it's 5 hours. I was like, no. I'm like, the exhibitor. That's like half the time the exhibitor hall's open. They're like, yeah, but it's worth it. No, it's not.
Nothing. What is worth that?
So in this particular one, it was before the Old Republic released. So you got a 5 minute cinematic something, and you got to play the game for either 10 or 15 minutes. So 5 hour wait for 20 minutes of entertainment. I was like, I don't even want to pay $10 to see a 2 hour movie. So
that is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's just to play an MMO that's going to come out in a couple months anyway.
Exactly. I was like, I can wait.
And it wasn't even that much different from anything they'd already just probably played.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Right.
Thank you. It was basically this WoW with a Star Wars skin.
Star Wars pasted on top of it, yeah.
That was my opinion.
Yep.
Wow.
So are any of y'all going to Dragon Con?
No,
I won't be able to make it.
No.
Too far.
You don't miss much for gaming.
Really?
I mean, it all books up very quickly, and then there's a decent little open gaming area, but nothing like this. It's just it's really close and convenient for us, and we've been doing it so long, it just sort of would feel
weird.
Where
are you guys located in North Carolina?
North Carolina, okay. Yeah. So it's, if we see my parents, it's a 6-hour drive. If we don't, it's a 5-hour drive. So
is that, where is it at?
Atlanta.
Oh, for some reason I thought it was in North Carolina.
We have a new one, Escapist Expo. That's this is the second year, and we've got some people trying to get us to go to that, and it's a 40-minute drive, so there's no reason why we wouldn't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was reading online, and they're like, yes, we have a open tabletop area, and I think, I literally think it said, like, 6 tables. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
We will support local, but we need to, you know, grow that out a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, we've got Grand Con starting this year for the first time in Grand Rapids. They're just north of us, about 40 minutes north of us. And so it'll be the first year, and the guys who are organizing it seem like totally great guys, and they're really on the ball.
Really on the ball.
I mean, really kind of aggressive marketing and really pushing hard.
Some paraphernalia here.
Yeah.
Did you put that down somewhere?
No, it
wasn't us.
Oh,
yeah. So, I mean, we're really looking forward
to it. He's shaking t-shirts out of the bottom of his pants. He's walking through the hall.
Right. Whoa, where'd that come from?
I don't know. Yeah. Must be awesome, though.
Yeah. So we're hoping that's a big hit.
Yeah. Well, because you want your con to be local. I mean, right? You can.
It's Chevy.
Oh. Hey, yo, Chevy.
Hey.
Luckily, you have a hat on.
I was like, that was Chevy. Why can't you guys?
How do I walk past? I get.
Well, really, you've been here over there.
I tried to recruit.
Yeah. I feel like the best people are in this room right now.
Well, you know.
And me. I'm here too.
Oh,
but I made it on time. That's
there's like this other thing going on and people want to go to it. That's taking my hat off. I apologize.
Whoa, you're getting casual with us here. Beer?
I'm going to take my boots off and my socks and stuff. You going to bathe your feet in there?
Well, someone's getting bathed in there. Scotch ale?
So we did. We had these printed just for Gen Con.
Is this? Milk Stout.
So they're just little promos. We're not going to reprint them though. So.
Oh, cool.
When they're worth
like
3 cents, you can say, "Hey, I had something."
That's cute.
Thank you.
Tastes like
I really dig your artwork.
Scotch.
She's awesome.
I had that.
It's just fantastic.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
I'm not a Scotch fan though.
Oh, that's nice.
It is meant to be cute, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
No, we're not trying to.
It's fine.
Because it is. It's adorable.
It's supposed to be adorable.
It's adorable.
Okay, what did I miss?
Oh, so, it's our Gen Con exclusive. I just wanted to give it to you guys.
It is adorable, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. I really love it.
It's a little too sugary sweet for
sleeping under a table.
No, it's totally.
I know,
it's sleeping under a table at Gen Con.
So, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I get this tweet like about, are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh.
Should I stop recording?
No. Okay. So I get this tweet about
the story's gonna change.
I just don't know. Like I don't want to. Like I don't know. Anyway, so I get this tweet about this having a hijinks, and I'm like thinking, "Cool, what is this? What is this?" And then it's baby dragons, and I'm like, "Hold on, what? Like, what do baby dragons have to do with havoc and hijinks?" Like I was thinking, like. You know, spies.
What would be more mischievous than baby dragons?
Oh, yeah, so that's what you're thinking about it. I'm like, well, yeah, if you had a bunch of baby dragons, there'd be a havoc. I got two kids.
Trying to do hijinks and accidentally create havoc.
So and it totally made sense after I started looking at the page and everything.
Cool, yeah. Like I said, the one thing, we got a really huge compliment on Board Game Geeks, which is like, I love, like, not exactly. It's like, the designers did a very good job of making it abundantly clear what this is. I was like, yes! Because that's what I didn't want. I didn't want to be there like, you said this was a strategy game. Yes, a very light strategy game. This isn't fun like Twilight Imperium. I know. It's not.
Well, Twilight Imperium is the lightest of the light strategy.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's like the Bud Light of strategy games.
I mean, you know, we wanted something that you could be in the door and done 15 to 30 minutes.
Right.
And if you're going more than 30 minutes, I haven't done my job.
Right.
Because it's like, you know.
So, okay, never mind. I'm an idiot. All right, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm just not going to talk for the rest of the evening.
Don't,
like, I see this, and I'm like, are QR codes part of the game? And then I'm like, no, you idiot. This is a promotional.
Don't know that. I thought the same thing. And I was like, oh, wait, no.
We should totally bro hug right now.
You guys should just basically bro hug all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
It makes it.
It was the bite of the lip that did it.
I was sitting in that spot before you got here, and I thought, if I stay here, Shep's going to sit right next to you. And that's, there's not a lot of space on that
couch. Maybe me and Jeremy get comfortable now.
What did you just say?
Maybe me and Jared would be comfortable with it.
Is it Jared?
It's Mike.
Mikey.
Why do I think your name is Jared?
It's all right.
What is your Twitter handle?
Orange Peeler?
You should have been like, it's Jared.
I totally called you Jared all day Jared. Today.
Back, you can see the cogs.
I'm like, oh, Mikey and Nisa.
Right. I know her.
Speaking of calling people by their names,
this is great.
No, Mikey has a great story to tell. Mikey, tell your story.
Mikey?
Yeah.
It's totally not Mikey.
It's not your name.
That's what I'm saying.
Your name is
call
now
him
Jared.
His name. His name is Mikey. I think it might be Michael, but I don't know for sure. So
yeah.
If he's
Mikey.
In trouble, it's Michael.
Right.
If he works with you, it's Mike, and he probably thinks you're a dick.
Well, I found you on Twitter,
where
it clearly says Mikey.
I know.
Yes, and if you're a friend,
he just changed it right now before you looked. Wait, so Mikey, tell your story about today.
Well, it's both my highlight and my low light of the day. My highlight of the day is we got to play and get demoed to the Phantom of the Opera. From Bruno Cathala, and at the very end, literally the last minute, he's about to put pen to the back of the inside of the. He was already in the midst of.
Yeah.
And I got confused, and I thought for a split second, even though I knew his name, that he was Bruno. Fatucci or whatever.
Fatucci. Yeah.
And I thanked him, or I sort of, just like that. And I basically told him how much I liked Citadels.
I feel
like so I was like, the moment the realization hit, and he's like, he shook his head, and I'm like, oh my god, what did I do? He smiled, and he told us this awesome story about how when he was starting out, the other Bruno was already, prolific and had already had a few games published and was sort of, and had the publisher kind of in his back pocket. He didn't say that specifically, but he showed him his first prototype, and Citadel's Bruno took it to his publisher at the time and said, "You will publish this." And helped him basically get in the door.
He has an endearing story.
Yeah,
so,
excellent.
So we got a really cool story out of it, and then he signed the inside of the box just like that. And he's and underneath where he says Bruno, he puts in parentheses the other one. But for the next 20-30 minutes, I'm like, I'm such an idiot.
I know, Jared.
It was one of those train wrecks I couldn't stop.
You just
watching it,
assholes.
Like, how do
Jared.
He was a really... So I meet him, right?
He was awesome.
So first, he's at the booth. He was demo. He had some other cool game that's not here. It's in prototype. And it's like this flip... It's like a spiral-bound notebook. And you open it up, and it's... So you got these... I have no idea. There's ships and stuff. And you can turn pages on the notebook. So like it changes... I have no idea what it changes. It changes things. So you got these ships in rows, and then I don't know. So anyway, I turn around. I'm buying the game, and I turn around, and there he is, and I recognized him. And Eric Martin's standing there, and they're filming. I didn't think they were filming, so I just walk over, like, "Hey, Eric, can I interrupt?" And Eric's just like, "Yeah, Chevy, go ahead." And so I'm like, "Bruno, like, this game is amazing." Like, and he's like, as typical French person, he's like, I don't know, he's Canadian, or is he really French?
No, I think he's French.
He's like, Antoine did best parts. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, can I get you to sign it anyway? And he's like, yeah, I sign it. And I was like, so I introduced myself as, I'm Chevy, I design games, I've got this game, blah, 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 blah. And like, will you sign it? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I don't have a pen. And Eric looks at me, and he's like, and Bruno's like, I have pen because I'm a professional. Dude, like, seriously, did you just go there? This isn't France. You can't be rude. This is America.
He actually
is the nicest way.
Yeah, I was honest because I am professional, and I'm like, all right.
We got to interview him this morning. He was like,
So okay.
Oh, wait.
We must have been.
By
there
the way, to our listeners, we will be attaching that interview to this show, just so you
the
know.
End of the show.
Jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to interview him. So this is awesome. This was almost as good as you getting the name wrong.
Jared?
Yeah,
Jared. Got Jared got the name wrong.
So
terrible.
Rob walks out with our handheld recorder, and he turns it on. He's like, "All right, Bruno, blah blah blah." And Bruno's like, "Oh, you know, I love these games." That was more Italian. But
that was excellent. Is what it was.
But I'm looking at the handheld recorder. Hey guys,
hello.
And I'm like, there's no level coming through, which means it's not working. And they're just talking, and Bruno gets done with the first, like, minute of just, like, this big exposition that's great. And I'm like, Rob, it's not recording. Like, no! What'd you do? You broke it! But he redid it for us.
Gracious. Super gracious.
He was a very cool guy.
We watched him demo the game before we sat down.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the game, Phantom of the Opera,
we were
sold by the time he was done with that demo. In fact, it was probably a couple minutes in. Between him just explaining it, we played Mr. Jack before, so we have, like, it's based off of the Mr. Jack
the
system.
Same
sort of
mechanics. So, yeah, it's a lot of similar mechanics. I just think it's a lot tighter. And I even said that to him a couple times.
He said, Bruno said that he really enjoyed how Americans are very happy about games and playing games, whereas, like, he's like, Europeans, you know? It's like, they're just like, oh, I'm playing games. He's just mocking. And I mean, it makes sense. I mean, look at the type of, like, Euro-style games they like.
Yeah, sure.
You can't be like, yeah, I'm trading stuff.
Yeah, he said he chose to debut the game here at Gen Con in the U.S. And this is the first time it's ever been for sale.
Oh,
because
awesome.
He likes the American
awesome.
Audience so much.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, good
yeah.
guy.
He's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Little Prince is amazing, if you guys haven't checked it.
Yeah,
we
bought
it. Actually, we met Rob and Jason for dinner, and we were literally setting it up to play it.
And then we
like,
interrupted
and
you.
And
like,
"Come
to dinner."
We asked how long, and it was, you know, waiting back and forth for texts and all that. And they said 10 minutes, be there. And I'm sitting there like, oh, I just said it. Okay,
sorry.
Dinner. I'm hungry. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So,
if
know,
it makes
so
you happy,
so
you haven't sent that to
no,
Rob.
So it's all set up, ready
man.
For us to play.
Well, it's kind of a. I don't want to say it's a completely different game, 2-player. But I really like the 2-player system.
We watched like the when before
yeah.
it was while it was getting kickstarted,
I can't
wasn't
remember.
It?
No, it's not.
I thought it was.
And I can't remember.
It was on Kickstarter.
No, it wasn't.
I
Kickstarter. I must
so,
be
no.
confusing. I had a look at that and confusing more things.
Jared,
Jared.
All those Jareds confusing.
No, I still can't remember who I saw the video, but there was like a full on tutorial playthrough of the game. It was a great explanation. It was before it was actually available, and I was just. I had just finished reading the book to our youngest child, so I was reliving the awesome book.
Yeah.
I love the book, and it, yeah.
Make
it
all
just, it clicked so, it was like the
yeah.
perfect time for me to watch
sure.
the video. I can't remember. And
well, I talked last night about how much I love Colorado, and it's the game I wish I designed. And
yeah.
Little's Prince is like Colorado with another 3 layers on top of it.
Huh.
It's the same game, the
so
same decision, but like 5 more layers of complication. You're like, huh? Man.
So 5 more ways to ruin your life. When
yeah,
you
exactly.
Hey, I just realized that we've been recording here for a little while, and we haven't officially done an introduction. So
that's awesome. That's how we roll.
You know, whatever. Hey,
people are
gonna
be so confused. They'll be like, "But
it's all good."
Well, who is this Jared guy?
Well, that's the problem, because the only way I learn people's names with their faces is to repeat the names, and since you've been repeating
Jared.
That's what's
gonna
stick.
I'm gonna put it in parentheses. My new middle name is Jared.
Yeah, like Jared. Yeah. So if we could go around the room and introduce yourselves, please.
Hi, yes, I'm Adam Farrell Trzynkowski from Epic Slant Press. We've got Havoc and Hijinks.
I'm Kristen Trzynkowski, also of Epic Slant Press.
Patrick McLaughlin, Epic Slant Press.
Great.
Chevy Dog, I'm from the internet.
In West Virginia.
Woo,
yeah. From
shavyod.com.
Mikey Jared Jones. That's it. That's all I got. Cause I'm
what? You're like podcast BTG.
Yeah, groupie.
Groupie number one. No, number two.
You're number two.
I have the podcast.
Groupie number one. One of our very first listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm Anise Jones, wannabe game designer, and groupie number one.
Jason, as always, I'm here.
Yeah.
With Rob.
Right. Okay.
Hey, thanks, Rob.
Guys. Very professional.
Shut up.
Okay, so anyway, back to the conversation.
All I know is that now I'm going to call you Jared. And the next time I see
enough,
you.
I'm going to have to take it on as a moniker.
So you got Bruno's signature.
Yeah.
So he's like, Antoine's here.
They're like, where's Antoine? He's like, check the Asmodee booth. So I go to the Asmodee booth. Oh no, he's over at this booth. So I go over there and they're like, no, he's working this booth. And I'm like, where is this guy's all over the place, this con. Like, I don't want to say I didn't know who Bowser was before Inami, but suddenly it's like, I don't realize he had all these games, like, everywhere in every booth ever. Who is this guy? It was pretty amazing. I literally chased him around the con trying to get his autograph.
The only reference I saw to him all day was at the Asmodee booth, but they had Meet Antoine at 4 p.m. or whatever.
There's some company I've never heard of who has, I don't know how to say it, Tokunato or something like that.
Takanoko.
Have
you seen this game?
Yeah.
Takanoko? Yeah, with the pandas?
I don't want to play it. I just want to hang it on my wall. Yeah. Like, I just want to put that on the wall.
And he's going to tell you a lot about how the game
Takanoko, there's another one that's like Takano or Takano or something.
Is that it?
That might be it.
Well, there's a different one. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
one that's like this long, plain whiteboard.
That's
with like a line down the middle.
Yeah, it's
I'm going to tell you, it's drop dead gorgeous.
It's white, black, and little bits of
white. Takanoko has like 3D bamboo.
No, this thing is, it's like Tokando or something like that. It's a white, I'm telling you, it's gorgeous.
We're doing a real good job here.
You can never see this game, but trust us,
I'm going to
solve
the
keywords.
It's this company I've never heard of, like Spitfire game, I don't know who
that is. Yeah, I heard of that. I saw it on the show floor, though.
It's not Spitfire, but I'm just saying, I made a name up that I'm sorry that you've heard of. But it's like Tokando or something like that.
Okay.
And it's drop dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
Listeners, to find out more information on that at chevygod.com.
I'm Googling it right now.
Do it.
And I've actually been like trying to trace him down on Twitter all day. Like, I want to interview him. Like,
yeah.
I want to talk to him because like this game is. I don't know anything about Hanabi. It doesn't interest me, but this is amazing.
Oh, so you bought it?
Well, yeah.
No,
not the Tokon.
Sorry,
the one he can't.
I'm looking
at
the chicken run.
Just confusing everybody.
Before this podcast is over, you will know the game I'm talking about. And you will
maybe
at least Google the picture because it's gorgeous.
And if somehow you can send in the right name, you get a bonus prize.
Yeah,
right. No, yeah, maybe from your company.
Bonus prize, yes. To redeem that bonus prize, go to Chevy Dodge. He'll send you a copy of one of the games that he has that he hates.
Hate them all.
So, do you guys want a beer?
Go for it.
Sure. Which is why
yes.
We
have several options.
We have a...
So who's the artist?
Alaskan Amber?
None of us.
That
works.
So,
okay.
Amanda,
you prefer stouts,
it's Amanda Mark.
Stouts, so.
She's basically, I'm good for a while.
She's not.
I'm a huge
IPA
fan.
First game.
Same thing.
Do you know her?
I drink any more than an IPA.
So,
everyone's always like, oh, you gotta have this IPA.
We've been publishing books for a little
me.
While, and so she's done my covers, my internal art. So I said to her, do you want to make a game? And she said, yes. So, like, no one in our entire workflow and process has any concept whatsoever of what they're doing.
That is awesome.
Yes. It's just, I you know...
Because it looks amazing. Well, I'm not going to lie.
She is very, very good at what she does, so...
Who's the graphic designer?
She is.
Oh, she does all of it.
She's done all...
So what do you guys do?
Nothing.
You just show up at con?
I talk randomly.
These aren't the designers. This is the demo team.
Yeah.
That's all they do is demo.
Pretty much. So, yeah, basically, she did all the art. She did the graphic design. You know, we did a lot of input on that, kind of like, this is what we're
talking about. Hijinks
and hijinks. What I'm hearing
here
is you guys are like the Milli Vanilli of game design.
By the way,
pretty much. I mean, like I said, this was our first one. We were at PAX, and she's just like, I just want to play a game with cute dragons, so I made one. That's literally, that's the entire origin story. And we played it with our friends, and I think, to quote one of my friends, he's like, when I heard you made a game, I expected this to be some terrible thing I was going to have to lie and say was okay. but I think you might actually have something here. And so we let some people that don't like us play it, and they're like, this is actually pretty decent. So, and here we are. Oh, that was like, we started in March last year, so here we are now at Gen Con. We're funded, and
it's great.
I guess people want to play it.
Well, we're talking about it, so tell us how the game works.
Well, I mean, it's really theme heavy. Like, so we started with theme, whereas some people, you know, do that on the second half. But again, we don't know what we're doing, so it's good. So, you know, it's basically everyone takes on the role of a baby dragon or young dragon that's been living with their parents and sort of, kind of a lazy dragon. Didn't really get out to dragon school much. So one day, all the dragon parents kicked all their children out with one bag of coin.
I want that game, Dragon School, the game.
That's the expansion.
That was just expansion.
Yeah, back to school. That's where.
So all the parents kick the young dragons out, and they're all on their own, and they have to basically build a treasure hoard. So the first dragon to a value of 15 wins and is the king of the young dragons. However you want to put it. So basically, the gameplay has a random element and a non-random element.
Every turn, you go out and you try to find treasure, which is the Havoc deck. So you flip a card, sometimes it's treasure, yay! Sometimes it's an event. An event can be positive, negative, or insane. There are some just, you know, it's not really positive or negative, it's just, okay, went crazy. And once that's done, then you have your hijinks hand, which you use to basically either steal from, break, or in some way trade with your friend's treasure hoard. And pretty much it's, it can be cutthroat, or it can be really kind of simple and nice. You can meta it. We have friends that meta it because they want a deeper game, and then there's just people that just play, and it goes that way. So, I mean, pretty straightforward. We try to keep it simple.
Sure, yeah. It's great. Your Kickstarter video was great, too.
Thank you.
The little puppet.
I was the puppet.
So you're the puppet.
Basically, anytime he's not talking, nice. It's me.
Yeah. So, you know, we joke that Patrick, we do nothing, but Patrick's actually our voice actor. He has a lot of voices. He does voice acting on our podcast. He's the dragon. He's actually the announcer.
Okay.
Yeah, so he did that. Really she made the entire video, though.
Okay.
So she took all the art, put it together, and the band, who was the band?
Some person named or goes by the name of Rocco Vacco. I'm so sorry if he ever happens to listen to this, and I can see immediately.
They were kind enough to let us use their music.
That's great.
So yeah, they were very
awesome.
Nice. So
cool.
So yeah, I was really pleased with how that came out.
Yeah,
she did a really good job. All I had to do was sit there and talk next to a puppet.
Yeah.
But, so
I'm just going to. I'm passing this phone around for everybody to hold. It's Tokaido.
Tokaido.
I literally just want to hang it on my wall. I don't want to play the game.
Jason just broke it.
Sorry, it looks like you searched GIMP on Google. Look at what I pulled.
Was it Kotarski's advice?
So we were in a panel and Jason Kotarski, with the game designers, and Jason Kotarski talking about GIMP, the photo editing program.
Yeah.
And he's like, just go to Google and search GIMP. And
he's like, search the GIMP, and we're like,
maybe he said maybe add like photo editor to the end of that. And then Jason realized what he said.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys want to look.
I do, actually. Kind
of,
yeah.
Like, you zoomed out of it. I hit the button.
Jason broke it.
I use Android.
Let's do this. Yeah, that'll do the full res.
It's gorgeous. Like, I don't...
It is great.
And it came out last year. It's got an expansion, apparently, according to Wargangi.
Okay.
And it looks amazing.
So, all right. Expansions. When I was a kid, up until, 5 years ago, it never would even occur to me that a board game would have an expansion. Like, to me, an expansion was something, video games, extra levels or something. What do you guys think about expansions for board games, tabletop games? What do you think about that?
I liken it to novels. I mean, or TV shows, right? Have you ever had that one TV show that you just, even though you know the writing's going to get sloppy in the 14th season, but you just don't care, right? You like the characters, you're invested. So, I mean, I guess you can do it from that perspective. Like, as a fan, that's how I see it. You know, if I really like your game, just keep making more. Yeah, it's kind of crappy, but, you know, you keep making more. From a design standpoint, for me, it's, there are things that we wanted to put in our game that were either too complicated, or they kind of made it unfun, or it was kind of niche, but I know somebody out there would like. And it's sort of the, this isn't for everyone, but here, try this. So I kind of see it that way.
Yeah, but the problem is, I think everybody thinks I have to buy the expansion.
Yes.
And so you,
like,
you
made this, that's what the publisher's banking.
Well, it's like you made this expansion
the OCD.
Well, no, but the problem is, like you just said, you made this expansion for 20% of your fans, 90% of your fans bought it, and that means 70% of them hate it.
Right.
And it's like,
agreed.
So then you get this moniker of, oh, that expansion's terrible. No, it's not. The 20 people that it was made for are like, this is awesome.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't make the expansion.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, you just need to be clear. And it sounds like you're good at being clear.
According to board games, we are very clear.
So, just be clear about the expansion. No, I think that's a perfect thing to do. You know, you make the game that's going to appeal the most, and then you can customize it.
Yeah.
But in this industry, it seems like everybody's like, oh, man, I got to buy the expansion. And then, oh, this is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. Which is not for you. Like, we made the game simple for you, and then if you don't want that.
And I'm the victim of that, because when Sentinels of the Multiverse first came out, we tried Gen Con, I loved it, I bought it immediately, I played it a dozen times when I got home, showed it to as many people as I possibly could, I loved it, but I kind of got a little burned out on it. And then the first expansion put in Kickstarter, I was like, oh yes, awesome, and I had to have it. And I never actually played it. And then the second expansion was on Kickstarter. I was like, oh, I gotta get that too. And I got and I never played it. And then the third one was like, maybe I shouldn't buy this.
Did exactly what the publisher was.
Yeah, well, that's
right. True.
Yeah. I mean, because for us, like Catan, I love Catan. Mm-hmm. And I like Seafarers. Knights and Castles changes the whole dynamic of the game. And there are plenty, like my buddies that love it and they're like, we want to play with this. I don't care for it. So it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not that it's not good. It's just that I'm not that demographic.
Yeah,
right.
And yeah. It depends on, like, take Dominion, for instance. Like, I won't play base set Dominion. It bores the crap out of me.
Really?
Yeah, it just... It's
that's,
not...
That's I've never I've played... played that's yeah. all... That, me too. Only ever played base Dominion.
I mean, we play base set with tweaks. You know what I mean? In the base set.
Yeah.
It's not like no, we play, like, just, standard hand, but...
Just bores
still.
Me to death. And it took a few expansions. We'll pretend, like, Alchemy didn't happen. So everything post that, like, after that is when it started to really shine for me. It's still not, like, a game that I go to when I want to go to a game, but it got better for me.
Is there a deck-building game that you do go to outside of Dominion?
Except for Frankenstein's Legacy. I mean, that's...
Well,
of course.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to murder their assistants?
Currently, and so... I'm not going to say that a lot. My current go-to is DC.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
It is the most distilled game ever in existence, and it fixed, like, it from Dominion. I went to Ascension. I loved Ascension.
Yeah, we really
it was. I love it so much better than Dominion. And then I played DC, and it was like I will never play Ascension again.
Really?
Because it took that. It took Ascension and stripped off everything, and made it a really dumb game. But then it added these character cards that give you direction.
Mm.
So you take Ascension that has, yes, if you can get, and that's the problem, if you can get a bunch of mechanic stuff, then you get this good little engine going. But that doesn't happen in real life. You put that on a character card, and now it's like, I have a reason for buying this, and you don't have a reason for buying this.
Oh, you get to.
That is cool.
And it really, yeah, it's like, I'm Batman, and so if I play an equipment card, it gives me +1 power. And so this equipment card is kind of, yeah, but for me, it's pretty good, because now it's +3 power instead of +2, but for you, you get bonuses for buying superpower cards instead, so you pass on it, like, I don't want that,
right.
Or maybe you do, because you don't want me to have it.
Right.
And so it made a much simpler game that was much deeper at the same time, and if you really just distilled it down to the, I don't think you could go any less...
Is Aquaman still pointless in the game?
Aquaman's actually pretty a good character.
That's good.
Aquaman, and anybody who's ever played a deck builder gets this, when Aquaman is, when you buy a card, it goes on top of your deck. Yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah,
who doesn't want that in every deck builder ever?
Yeah, pretty
much.
You
know what, though? The thing is, if you've got a character that nobody likes, you have to give them the best ability. It'd be like if they made a Star Wars
It's not the best.
Jar Jar Binks should be amazing.
I don't think
anybody has to play him and be mad about it.
I don't think Aquaman's the best, but Aquaman's definitely pretty good, so...
I would just be angry about that.
Yeah.
So, I would like, you know, when you talk about expansions with Pandemic, right? So, I think we want to buy the next...
Is it the In the Lab?
Or On the Brink? Is that what it is?
On the Brink was the first one.
Okay. I saw the In the Lab. It was cool. There were little vials.
I think it's a different game, isn't it?
I don't know. We're not that far yet. We just learned Pandemic.
I think Pandemic In the Lab is a whole new thing.
Well, it looked cool.
It just looked awesome.
Well, there were these little vials.
Yeah, so On the Brink is a new thing.
Right.
I don't think they were actually liquid. Shut up, it was cool.
And so for us,
well,
you know,
at the
like that water balloons game, are we getting the expansions?
No, because it didn't make enough money to get the expansions.
Right. Yeah, okay.
You'll never get it.
Stop interrupting the guests.
He started it.
Sorry. So anyway, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, because I'm wondering if anyone's played it. Because we haven't, but...
I have not played On the Brink.
Okay, because for us... We at this point we have to inject difficulty for ourselves, right? Because we're
exactly
yeah. But the other problem, I love Pandemic, and I also don't like it because you get quarterbacking the whole time. Sometimes.
Have you played Castle Panic?
We have not.
Go play it.
Okay.
So explain Castle Panic.
Yes, please.
Castle Panic is a cooperative game, but if you want, you can play Furry Winter, and it's basically a tower defense game. Like the characters are all in the middle of the board. You really don't exist. And then the monsters are coming from the outside in. And I don't remember how it works. That's
okay.
It. That's the whole game.
Okay, great.
So there's like... the board's a circle, and it's cut into like pie shapes. And so that pie shape is like... I think it's numbers. Like number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 around the board, right?
It's color-coded, I believe, too.
Color-coded, too.
Blue,
so
green,
you've got the blue
yellow,
zone,
red.
The red zone, the green... Yeah. And then the numbers. And so monsters come in... You know, on randomly, basically, but around this tower area. You
pick it out
then,
of a cup, and then depending on the color...
Yeah, depending on the color, that's where they come in.
Yeah.
And then at the center of the board is the tower, and it has four sides?
Yes. Four sides and two layers of wall and then the center.
And so like when the, if the monsters reach the tower, so there's like three steps for them to reach the tower, then they break the wall down, and if they've broken the wall down on that side, they break the tower down on that side. And if you lose three of the towers, I think you lose.
Yeah. You guys know that moment when you're working on a prototype and you're pretty committed to it, and then somebody describes a game to you and you realize that's the prototype?
Yeah.
Right now.
That's
basically the game we you guys tested for me.
No.
It's a cooperative
game. Except for it sounds like a better version of it.
It's a cooperative game, but there's basically zero there's no opportunity to quarterback. That's the cool part about it. Like, because everything that you know about the game is in your hand or the board. There's no, like, you move over here and do that. Like, you're playing cards to attack a zone or a color or a number row or whatever, and that's kind of it. And it's, so it's like, unless you play with your hands open on the table, nobody can really help you. They can say, like, we need to get rid of this, and if you can do it, you can do it. So it kind of, for me, that it kind of solved that co-op quarterbacking, because it was the same thing with Pandemic. I played Pandemic a few times, and it was like...
Yeah.
Because everyone knows what everyone can do.
Well, the difference is
that
my game, you can quarterback in it. You make sure
but the difference with yours is that players play as an individual character with a specific role to fill, and yours has kind of those talent trees that you can create some variation in who plays what.
Yeah.
So there can't be an individual player that takes all the control, because they're just going to get crushed.
Right.
So with your game, I think there is... It's ultimate... sort of the way characters or baddies are introduced and their ultimate goal versus your ultimate goal is ultimately the same, I think there's enough variation that yours isn't negated for it.
Alright, well that's good to know.
Otherwise I would have said something.
Because when Chevy was describing it really sounded like that.
That was when we were, I guess, about 4 or 5 months out from Kickstarter, someone put a game on Kickstarter that had the same premise as us, just dragons getting treasure. I was like, oh, that's not good. Thankfully, completely different gameplay, very serious style, but that's always not...
I was getting ready with Water Balloon Washout when it was called Snowball Fight, and then Game Salute announces they're going to publish this game called The Great Snowball Battle.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, crap, I mean, you know, because there's a market for multiple games.
Of course.
I mean, like, there's the billion zombie games.
There wouldn't be zombies, yeah.
Yeah.
But zombies have a bigger market than snowball fights do.
Maybe so.
That's why we ended up changing it, but yeah, I mean, so that...
So, new at Gen Con is, like, what's it called now? Undead Panic? Same game with zombies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just like,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Don't make yours about zombies either, because they took that, too.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
So, yeah.
No,
well,
go see it.
I was going to make one about baby dragons.
Treasure.
You step out.
Yeah, you're like, go ahead, I dare you.
Yeah. No,
ours is already going to be out.
It's a tough market, no. But, you know, I think maybe the water balloon... I don't know, snowballs, of course, I grew up in the South, so
right.
I resonated with the water fight, personally. I'm all about theme, by the way. I'm sorry if that's not apparent.
Oh, no, no.
Because
yeah.
So, like, everything on there, I was like, I have done this as a child, and that's why I was really into it, truthfully. Snowballs, I'd be like, my dad threw one at me when we were
in Georgia. What is he going to know about snowballs? Yeah.
Not a thing.
Well, we had this debate, too, about when to launch the Kickstarter. Like, if it was the snowball game, launching it in June felt like, you know, I mean, because you're from the South, right? So snowballs, you're like, whatever, but snowballs to everyone in the summer, kind of like, but it's summer.
Yeah.
You know? So we're like, well, we could deliver it in winter, but they're not thinking about it, so we figured it was better to do it as water balloons now and deliver it in winter when no one wants to have a water balloon fight.
Sure.
So that made more sense, we thought.
Yeah.
In Georgia, it's all about ice and rocks.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
throw rocks at each other.
Yeah, well, you know, I lived there for 6 months.
I'm not going
to. There's not a whole lot else to do in Georgia.
You know, he may be joking, but I'm not going to lie. So we have had walnut fights.
I lived in Maryland.
And we have shot each other with BB guns. Because, again, where I lived in Georgia, there wasn't a lot going on, and that's what we did.
I grew up in England, and a game that happened toward, like, closer
did
towards
you say
England?
England?
In England,
not New England.
No, England. And you guys all heard the Christmas song "Chestnuts Roasting on a Fire." And they were called Conkers. They were the really hard, like kind of probably rancid inside, but like on the outside were so ridiculously hard. And you would bake them for a while, and you put them on a string, and that's what sort of the game you would play.
But that always devolved into somebody getting whipped around the head by a conqueror.
That's terrible.
You don't hit each other initially.
No, you're
it's
supposed to hit
the
first out of conquerors.
It escalates.
You're supposed
that.
To break each other's conquer. But
for the first 2 minutes,
it was always somebody's knuckles that just got pounded, and then people get pissed off, and then they'd be throwing these things at each other. Yeah.
Well, it's good to know that that's, you know, on both sides of the
problem. Yeah, we're completely barbaric, regardless.
Yes. We are going to find a way to hurt each other. But not out of war. But out of fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's with love that we hurt each other.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, okay, so to bring it back around to expansions and to play devil's advocate.
Sure.
And to bring the Little Prince back into it, just because I can. The guy who wrote it, Antoine something French, that I will murder if I try to say, has some sort of quote that, and it's in regards to art, that a piece of art is finished when there's no more to add. Not when there's no more to add, but when there's no more to take away.
Hmm.
So if you look at an expansion, that clearly doesn't fit, because you're adding more. Or you look at a serial movie where you get the second and third, and you know it's just crap, but they want to make more money.
Filler.
I mean, I really liked your analogy. I liked your analogy of the TV show that you know it's not going to be as great,
right?
But you just want more,
right?
I totally get that. But on the flip side, then you have those others that you know are just high mass produced, that they're just trying to make money.
Yeah.
And I think there has to be that sort of balance there, because
right.
If you're just pumping out crap,
just like Castle Panic, the expansion is amazing, and like I've never met anybody who said the game's not better for having it.
Really?
And it's called Wizard's Tower.
That's a good way to make, like, fill holes in your game, too, though. If you find something, you're like, oh, this would totally make it better.
Or something you never considered, you know, once players play it. Because, I mean, you know, like I said, our game was awful when it first... Because it was 6 players, and if you tried to play it with any less than 6, it wasn't fun. Because you never saw your kind of card, so you got all these... Uh-huh. So you're like, oh, junk, and, you know, we would have... If it wasn't for, you know, us playing and the other people playing it, we never would have really got somewhere playable. And then now I get players, you know, you never thought about it. Or, like, you guys would play it, and you're like, have you ever thought about this? No, absolutely not. I've never thought about that. That's a brilliant idea. But it's too late. So, I can see that.
Yeah, so we're talking now about how important it is to play test, right?
Yeah.
And get it in front of as many people as possible. And that's, you know, just last night when we were hanging out in Game Salute area, and I had 3 different people play Rocket Wreckers. And, I mean, we had one guy who was a serious Magic player. I mean, this guy is about as a hardcore card gamer as you can imagine. And he basically made me feel like my game was a piece of crap. And that I should just burn it. I should just set it on fire. And I mean, his delivery was very abrupt, you know? And if I was less confident in myself, I might have taken offense to that. So that said, because actually I know he's going to listen to this. That said, I am so thankful. I am so thankful for what he did for me. I fill up a page and a half of notes just from this one player, you know. And if I hadn't put it in front of this guy, I never would have gotten any of these comments. And
incidentally, he completely crushed me.
Yeah,
unmercifully.
You honestly,
he is another.
What's that? You honestly have to be afraid of that player, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's not a normal player.
Right.
And so his feedback is awesome for him. But the other 98% of the people who are going to play your game, maybe that feedback doesn't work for them.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's really hard to distill that out of a test session. Like, which one of these people should I listen to? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I will say this, because I played not just your game, but I also played
Sandbox Showdown
with Jason.
Yeah.
Coming from the Magic background that he has, his, obviously, the area that he sort of plays for, I didn't get the impression from him. Because for me, yes, obviously I like to be challenged and ultimately feel a sense of reward from the game, but I go into it primarily for the aspect of fun. Am I having fun playing a game?
Yeah,
right. I'm not just going to go in and play a game for the sake of playing a game in a chore and rubbing it in somebody's face.
Yeah.
I got the distinct impression from this guy that, honestly, he, a lot of time... He doesn't necessarily play for fun.
So he's more European than you are, is what
player.
You're saying.
Well, what that means is that's fun for him.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
For him, it's a competition.
Yeah.
It's a political wills that.
Our buddy wills that way. He has to win, and so we are all play to play, which drives him nuts because
exactly.
It's like that's not the best tactical move. I'm like, I'm just playing.
If I played to win, I would never play games with my wife because she destroys me.
Maybe she plays to win, and that's the problem.
Well, that might be
the problem. Playing for fun, and she's playing.
But that's
crush
how they're balanced, though.
Yeah.
Don't mess this up, Jason.
So what I after that experience, and then the few other people that I played with last night. Stepping back from that, what I kind of realized is that then my job as the designer of this game is not to fix all the problems and answer all the questions that have been raised. My job is to listen to all of those questions and think about all those questions that have been raised, and then decide how
and evaluate
how or
which
if
ones
I
you would change. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right.
I mean, the benefit with having a guy like that play was his mind, obviously, from based off of what his background was, what he was telling him.
It was magic.
Yeah, but he also said that he had tested a bunch of games like at that sort of card, you know, that level, like in some sort of professional sense, or at least
for like 7 years.
Yeah, something like that. Huh. That he immediately went into the decks, like before, while you were explaining the game to him, and there's not a lot of cards in that deck, right?
Yeah, right.
He immediately went through and evaluated everything, determined based off of what you were telling him how the game is played, how he would match things up, and before a card was placed on the table, he had a rigid set strategy. And
that's
the
impressive.
Only thing that derailed that was me throwing a couple of my things at him to sort of shut some of that down, but he would immediately recover from that and do whatever he could to get back to that card because it is such a small deck.
Right.
So he could restart his strategy.
Sure.
Huh. And you know, I mean, he and I are completely different players.
Oh, it was interesting to watch him and you play Sandbox because it's a two player dueling game.
I was so close.
And Mikey had a real good shot at winning and missed text on a card and didn't win. And but there were several times where I'm like, why is this guy not just doing this? Just do this. And I asked him at the end, and he's like, well, that wasn't my strategy.
Yeah.
And I thought, you could have probably won the game earlier.
He evaluated the cards from the other tiles
exactly.
In that case.
He knew the strategy. And in the end, it worked for him.
Yeah.
You know, but it was interesting to me, because, and it makes sense, because if you're a Magic player, right, a pro Magic player with a deck, and you know what that deck does,
right? And you don't deviate.
You don't change your strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, you adapt a little bit, but you're so good at it that you don't have to change your strategy.
Exactly.
So that was really interesting to me. And you're right, Chevy. I mean, his feedback, well, golden for some things. A lot of it, you know, like he was talking about this combo issues and stuff, and I thought, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
No one's ever going
exactly.
to do what you did unless they played this game a dozen times.
Just taking it at its base value, I've tried to give people that advice so many times. It's like, I demoed a game one time to a guy, and I'm not really fond. I don't like my own games. I hate them. They're all terrible. But this particular game needs work, and I knew that going in. And so I'm showing this game, and we're going through the whole thing. And so at the end, he's like, what if there was, like, explosions? And, like, and it just wrecked half the board. And I'm like, no.
Paper route brought to you by Michael Bay.
This is a mining game. Like, why are there massive, catastrophic explosions? That doesn't help. But what he was really trying to tell me was, I feel like I'm not in control of this board, and I want to be able to just kind of erase parts of it.
Oh.
And I thought about that a little bit more and was like, okay, I kind of get what you're saying now.
Well,
what if maybe I have an option where, like, I could cut you off from a section of the mine, you have to work your way back around. Instead of blowing off half the board, I effectively do that, but there's a way around it.
Right.
And so I understood what he was saying. Like, oh, what I really want is some control over it. Okay. Not, I really literally want to lose half the board. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, and you know, it reminds me of a Steve Jobs quote where he said, the customer rarely knows what they want.
Exactly.
Right? And that person didn't know what they wanted, but you had to infer what they were trying to tell you they wanted.
He just didn't know how to say it. Like,
right.
It wasn't to him. It was like, just blow half this up because it's stupid. Like, well,
like, wow.
I kind of agree with you. I understand where you're coming from. And it just, you got to look at the whole picture and what they're actually asking for. But, you know.
And disclaimer, Mikey and I have played a couple of your games, and they are completely playable and very fun to play. We like them a lot. So.
Paper Route makes me stress the hell out.
Paper Route
but it's stressful
is,
and it's fun.
I am terrible at that game. I'm horrible at it, and I want to just scream every time I play it.
It's fun. I come out of it like with that sense of like, oh, it was fun, but in the midst, my heart is going, and I'm like,
back to back, because it's stressful.
Yeah.
I
need to make sure no beers have been consumed prior, otherwise, you know.
Let me be honest. I gotta be honest with you guys. The only reason I started to design games is so that I could make ones that I'm better at than my wife. Just so I'd have a chance at beating her at something.
That's tough though, because like, I Water Balloon Washout, because Chevy likes to talk about this. I mean, I've run probably 100 or more playtests. I think I've won 3 games. I mean, like, I get trashed, and I don't hold, like, I used to, like, I do, like, the nice designer thing at the beginning. I know the strategy, so I'll hold back a little.
Right.
But then I was like, screw that, I'm tired of losing. And still, it's like, go for the designer.
I think part of it...
Say, I'm so unlucky, I start from the beginning, I'm going to win this.
Destroys,
and then still lose. Every time.
For a while, he destroys. But I think part of it by being the designer, I don't know about you guys, I never win either, but I think it's because I'm too busy talking and teaching. And someone's like you're over-coaching other people while you're playing to your detriment. I'm like, well,
yeah.
I don't care if I win or not, for one, but...
I actually try really hard to not play in my... playtests.
Yeah. It's so much better that way. That's why I like the playtest talk, because they bring you 4 people and you can just sit back.
Well, it's like the sandbox game. It's really tough. Wreckers would be hard too.
It
a
is.
Game that's a strategy game, like with the sandbox game, I know all the tiles on in my deck. I know all the tiles in their deck because I wrote them. And I'm watching the strategy they're trying to do, and I'm like, oh, I can so stop that. Oh, I'll play this tile that's not going to help me instead, so that they can use more playtime.
Right, yeah.
You know? So yeah, I've been trying. Here, I've been fortunate to get a couple people to play it. You know, I think the only person I actually sat down and played it was AJ. You know, so
it's important. Like, it really, because inadvertently they're going to target you, and it kind of unbalances the game.
Right.
Like, even if your game is the most balanced game in the world, when you've got 4 people that you're trying to teach a game to attacking you intentionally because you're the designer.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, it's funny. One of the things I noticed was
work.
In a take that game, which I mean, Water Balloons is 90% take that. I mean, that's the point.
Is it? I haven't played it yet.
I backed it on Kickstarter, though. You know what? I can keep
it. When are they shipping?
It's at your house right now.
Yeah, yeah. When am I getting the stretch target?
Yeah.
Thanks for rubbing that in.
Rough crowd.
These are my friends.
Wow, Jared.
Nicest people in the room are the people I only know from Twitter.
That's why, also, by the way, why they're the worst playtesters, because I'm never going to disparage anybody.
Yeah.
If I see something that I thought was like a little awkward, I will say it in the politest way, but that's why we only can do non-reviews, because I can't.
Yeah.
Because I just see myself, I'm like, I know I need good feedback, but seriously, if I catch something like really wrong, I'm like, have you thought about this? But yeah, never rely on us to be your like true playtesters, because we're going to be like, it was fun. Really?
It was the title.
The title's great.
The font you used is excellent.
Actually, that's a compliment from her, because she's like, I hate this font.
Never use Comic Sans.
You should talk to Grant Roding about font.
I've been trying
off about that earlier. That was great.
Do you know the story?
No.
So Grant's got this prototype that's like little blocks of wood with stickers on them and stuff. Like,
yeah. Is that blocky?
Like, yeah, blocky, there's zero artwork to this game, right? And so he puts it up like, hey, would you guys review my cards, these new like turn cards that I made? And I'm telling you, it's literally just like 5 lines of text on a blank white card.
Oh.
And this guy's like, I think it reads really well, but that font you chose could be really more thematic because I because the serifs don't fit the space theme. Well, hold on. What? That's your feedback? Like,
whoa.
What is that? This is a prototype.
Wait, you know what, though? Our prototype had white squares where the art was, and the number one feedback we got from our Unpub Mini was, needs art.
Well, in your game, like, it does. Like, seriously.
But it's a prototype.
It's a prototype.
The very, the very first thing we saw, the art is coming.
I don't
There's
care
no
it's like
here.
A picture of a beer bottle. As a card player, I visually distinguish cards. I don't read text.
Yeah, and that makes
sense. So once you know the text and you associate the text with the picture, all I have to do is see the picture and I know what the card does. I don't have to read anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's Rob and I
it's really important.
With your splitters, the original version of Wreckers,
right.
Had no card names. So, like, abilities just had text and no picture.
No, it's,
and I was like, Rob, I don't know what's happening in this game because I don't use the visual, I use the name. Like,
I read the names.
It's, yeah, so if it's called that, I memorize the names and I see that, I know what it is. And so, yeah, I'm like, I can't, I'm having such a hard time playing this game.
And then, right, and then with splitters, then I gave it names and then I put artwork on it that I just stole online, you know, temporarily. And I realized that I was playing a game about putting together pipe fittings.
Google up is really if boring. You've never looked into it, if you've never looked
that's okay,
into
though. That's where records came from.
And you want to laugh about a prototype, Google up the, like Richard Garfield's, I don't know how you would word it, like, the first version of Magic.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And it's like, there was no Google back then, so he couldn't just go steal artwork. So it's like pictures of toilets. Like, mm-hmm. That was their artwork.
Yeah.
Here's this elf that's a toilet. But, like, he realized that he had these pictures were needed just so you didn't have to read every card that somebody played. You just associated the toilet that does this.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah. You'll find, like, pictures of plungers and...
That makes total sense.
You're not the first person that's told me that. Truthfully.
It's all, like, Microsoft clip art.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Or, like, literally he took pictures with his camera. I don't know.
What a great idea.
The throne room.
I'm serious. Just throne room. I don't care what it is, put something on it. It could be letters. If you only have 15 cards in your deck, just put a big letter on the card just so I can associate it with something.
I'm always going to do that now. What? That makes so much sense.
All the pictures of toilets.
Which is why when we came here, we
had a lot of just different colors.
Seat up, seat down. Seat up, seat down.
Right. Seat up is a man.
Different angle.
Down is a woman.
And then bidet.
That's royalty. Yeah.
Well, and it was, though, because, you know, so it seems like silly feedback, but we learned that we lost out on valid feedback because they were looking at that, right? Yeah. That's what it came down to. So it's like, we got to get something on here. So, you know, for this, we have, like, crude concept art, you know, good black and white and some color. And so, depending on where you are in the card.
And that's... It's tough when you're trying to get feedback and they will only focus on the things you don't need feedback
for. Right.
It's really hard. But, you know, you take what you get. I mean, when somebody's willing to playtest for you, right?
Yeah.
You know, first of all, that's awesome that they're willing to playtest. And I really believe that every person that playtests your game, whether or not they give you good feedback, there is something that you can take from every single person.
Oh, yeah.
Your guy last night.
No, he was fantastic. Yeah. He was super fantastic. Oh, you mean the guy who played Frankenstein with us?
Yeah, not Magic Guy.
Yeah, Magic
cool.
Guy was excellent, yeah.
No,
we had a really weird dude who played Frankenstein's Legacy with us.
Was this Cape Guy?
Cape Guy.
Cape Guy
was awesome.
Cape Guy apparently played my game.
Did he?
He
did.
He had a strategy of don't kill any zombies, and the whole game is like,
I'm just gonna just
killing zombies.
Yeah, it's the entire game.
Maybe he was trying to harvest them.
Right, it's like... Like, this guy's strategy in all games is to not play the game. Like, in Frankenstein...
I think it's valid, though. I want that guy to test my game, because maybe I'm an idiot, and, like...
Get him out.
Like, well, most people kill zombies. Well, what if one person doesn't? What happens to the game? Maybe it breaks.
It was fascinating.
Nobody's ever tested that, because...
Oh, yeah.
And most people don't wear capes and do weird stuff like that. So
he's secretly a genius.
Yeah. He might be. To me, that's a perfectly valid test.
Well, it was funny because, you know, in Frankenstein's Legacy, you can send out people to get body parts. But you don't want to do that all the time, because then you have too many body parts. But every time one of his people came up to get body, you just send him out to get more body parts.
Right.
So he actually ended the game in Neil Roberts 1 without having anywhere close to a body completed,
right?
Because there were no cards.
Yeah, I mean,
because this guy had a deck like 4 feet tall.
You said that, you know, what you got from him was valuable, right? Even though he basically played to break the game.
Yeah.
But the other three guys that were playing with
him were so pissed at him.
They were so pissed that you could see them. Neil came up afterwards, he's like, the game's great, but he was so mad because he had to play with Cape Guy.
Cape Guy
was
the
best.
One guy refusing to actually play the theme. You know?
Cape Guy, if you're listening, we thank you for joining.
For breaking everything.
You're my favorite playtest.
You know, Chevy, you said you like to do like clip art and stuff. You should make one of a dude with a cape.
Cape Guy.
It looks like Cape Guy.
I might.
Because that can just be our little insight.
Maybe Cape Guy should be the new mascot for our show.
You have to make sure you can see the safety pins on the back.
The
really
pins, right?
Large safety
and the bowler
pins.
Well, I mean, the co-op. Yeah. We could use it for the... it could be BTG co-op.
Cape Guy. Are there pictures of this guy?
I think we have some, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll draw it for
you. I think you... Cardboard Edison took a good picture of Cape Guy.
Yeah, because it was Chris and Suzanne and Neil. And then Cape
Guy. Oh, that's right.
I
forgot it was Chris and Suzanne.
Yeah.
We've got to get all over that.
Cape Guy was so great.
I like it. Thank you, Cape Guy.
I want Cape Guy to play
Arnie. I know. I hope he shows up tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's your number?
We don't have one. We're just in the first exposure.
That guy's goal will be to get rid of all the treasure. Like... I don't want any treasure.
You could actually do that.
If you got rid of every treasure and then killed the deck, no one would win.
We do have a
try,
and he would win.
No, not yet.
He broke.
So is it possible?
Possibly.
No one's tried.
No one's tried.
We need Cape Guy.
We need a Cape Guy.
He's the superhero of playtesting.
He's the hero we
all have. No, I'd say he's more of an anti-hero. He's the Deadpool of playtesting.
He's going to break the perfect wall.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
So perfect. It fits absolutely perfectly.
See, we need to get the Zinsleys on some pictures from that, because I want to see you draw something. I want Cape Guy as a mascot for all of us.
I'll do this. You know, so I told you guys. I told you guys. So we had this thing earlier, and I told everybody this thing. Like, they were talking about art, and I said, they were talking about icons, like, for your games, and I was like, seriously, just tweet me. I get bored a lot, and I like to draw icons. And so I tweeted that one time. You know, so Brian Fisher of
Nevermore.
Yeah. He tweets me back. He's like, "Can you draw me a lemon that looks like a TARDIS?" Can, but I don't know what this purpose is. And so I did it, and he's like, "This is amazing, thank you." And I'm like, "I've never seen this." Like, I still don't. This was like last August. Like, I have no idea why I drew this thing. Like, all right, I'll do it for you. Whatever.
That's great.
I get bored.
Oh man, I'm gonna take you up on that though. I will totally be emailing.
I love making icons. You, like,
make me an icon of this. I promise not to make stupid stuff.
I did a Frankenstein game for somebody else recently too. So.
I know who you're talking
about. But now it's a challenge. And I promise not to do stupid stuff. I promise I'm going to send you a stupid one. Like, I need...
a lemon TARDIS?
How do you make... Yeah, lemon TARDIS.
How about
it's
a lemon
hard to be.
TARDIS? A banana Dalek?
A banana Dalek. No, look, you make this Cape Guy logo, and then Cape Guy becomes, like, part of our vernacular is, like, you know, like, that place.
Well, yeah, I was testing with Cape Guy. Yeah.
Cape Guy was not a...
Like, I totally had a Cape Guy.
And, I mean, the thing is, we're not... I mean, first of all, I don't think Cape Guy was real big on the internet, so I don't... I'm not concerned that he's going to hear this. But if he did, Cape Guy, we don't mean anything offensive, because you... You know,
yeah, but you're valid.
You played the game wrong, and that was helpful. So
exactly.
Thank you. I wish you would have played Sandbox Showdown. I want to know what he would have done with it. He just would have just kept placing tiles as one thing like this, trying to fill space. And he just would have kept
placed it like worm, like snake.
Now it's like a challenge. You have to go out and find the guy. Like, please test my game. All of a sudden, he's like, "Why am I getting all these games? I don't understand." What did I do?
We are now on we're all on a quest to find a Cape Guy for our local test.
So,
you need a Cape Guy. Like, and I'm honestly serious about that. Like you were saying, my group is made up mostly of like semi-professional and professional card game players. Like, they literally make money playing card games. And when I pull games out, these guys are just like, "I'm not playing this." You know, like, this is the dumbest thing ever because of this, this, and this. So I'm just like,
actually kind of sounds like something that...
Okay. It's completely valid. I basically stopped testing with them because it's like, I don't... Hey, let's just please teach you. I don't know, whatever. So...
I found the best person I can get to playtest my games is my wife, because she... They say, "You can't have friends and family..." No, my wife is the most honest person.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she'll finish a game and she's like, "This is stupid."
Yeah,
like, I don't even know if you can fix this.
That's my 8-year-old.
So we have a couple friends like that would not
completely unapologetic.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, I mean, she will give me really good feedback on the game. But you know, she's kind of like my litmus test for, is this terrible?
Yeah,
you're pretty honest about it. I think she's more honest, but we're pretty honest with each other about, you know, to say that's a cool idea, but here's why I think it's not going to be cool. You know. And we kind of have to be, right? Because otherwise our show is pointless. We're just going to sugarcoat everything with each other.
No, seriously, no, Jason, you're the best. You're my favorite.
Although, your version of sugarcoating with one another is like that pause. Well...
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
when it gets great, but...
And I like how the other one always calls it out. Like, it doesn't matter who says it. And you're
exactly.
You don't really like that, do you? And you still won't fully say it. Like, there are signs where you're like, "Oh, I hate you," or, you know. Yeah.
It's still the... "It's great, but about the font."
The serifs don't match. The serifs do not fit. It's just terrible.
It does not fit the theme.
I did a callback for you and Grant's conversation last year, if you remember that. I was talking about Water Balloon Washout on Twitter, and Grant said something about it, and I replied, "Well, I'm going to add like 400 factions to it tonight to make it better."
Yes.
Grant replies, "If you're not balanced, I will fly to your house and murder you."
God, I actually was there for that playtest.
Right, I remember.
I was so good. I was giving Grant so much crap, and this kid's like, "How many factions are there?" And Grant's like, "Well, there's these four."
Yeah.
And this kid's like, only four? And Grant's like, well, yeah, I'm still working on these. And the kid's like, my buddy designed a game, and he's got 18 factions done in a month. They're perfectly balanced. And Grant was just like...
What can you say to that, though?
I mean, yeah, I'm sitting really there. Bad. I was like, the kid's right. I just designed four. Like,
right now.
So it's been this running joke. Like, Grant, I just did 12, like, right here, while we were having dinner.
Yeah, I've got we haven't ran into him yet. We've been meaning to just...
Grant?
Yeah. It was planned.
He's hard to nail down.
I'm going
to
go see him. We're at the very end after this.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of elusive.
He's only elusive to the people he...
Ouch.
Grant, he's a very alpha male. I don't know if you picked that up at the panel. There was one person talking more than everybody else.
I was actually in... I don't know. I don't think Grant listens to our show anyways, but... I was surprised he talked less than I thought he would.
And I don't mean
that as a bad thing. So, I mean, Grant has a lot of great things to say, and that's why we asked him to be on the panel.
Exactly.
But he talked less than I thought he would. He let you talk more than I thought.
Actually really introverted when it comes to, like, hanging out with people. He's like, because when we were coming to Gen Con, he's like, I just want, like, me, you, and Matt Warden to find a table and just play games all weekend. I'm like, you don't want to meet new people and make contacts and, like... You don't want me to show you around the publisher hall and introduce you to publishers? Because he's like, I kind of feel weird about that. And I'm like, you're very alpha male. And it...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's funny, because like when we were meeting at the Marriott the first night.
Sure.
It was at night. He was there, and he was gone.
Yeah.
And he never came back.
Like, yeah.
So...
You never know. Like I said, I am terrified to meet anybody up until the point I meet them. Like,
exactly.
I really am. Like, I get high anxiety just coming here,
absolutely.
And as soon as I walk through the door, I'm like, oh, it's good.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't know why.
It's like, they don't bite in, they have beer, it's good.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Well, we have to run.
Oh, that's cool. I think
we're probably pushing
it. Yeah, we're 9 o'clock anyway, so.
We're pushing it, huh?
Rob is just texting on his phone, not manning the controls.
He's taking pictures and tweeting and stuff, so.
Yeah. If anyone's interested...
He took a picture of me without my hat on, which I don't think is legal.
I don't
think so. It's
actually,
as soon
as you took it off,
I didn't know
you
were. Isn't that in your
contract?
They're going to be like, who's that guy?
Have you guys seen the Tables and Titans on Kickstarter yet?
No.
They've got it in the playtest hall.
What is it?
Tablets and Titans.
Okay,
it's actually,
I totally heard topless and Titans.
No.
He's
going to run it for us, but he needs more than three. He said he could do it with three if anyone's interested. I've never played it. It looks neat. I saw it in the first exposure. We're going that way.
We have to stay here.
Okay.
Yeah. We're waiting for our wives to be here soon. So.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Don't make them angry. So. We wouldn't like them when they're angry. We're going to run over there because we got really tired and wanted to sit in the room, so I kind of forgot to get to them sooner. I was like, I'm so sorry. We'll meet you at 9 and stuff.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah,
yeah,
awesome.
I appreciate it. So,
really,
you guys doing it again tomorrow? Or?
I think it's our last night for this tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in case we don't get to see it, appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you again. I'm glad, like I said, I wanted to check
boxes. Good to meet you in person. Very nice to meet you.
Chevy?
Nice to meet you.
We'll get there.
Say bye to Jared.
No, Jared. So, give us a con if we don't run into you.
Yeah, you too, guys. Yeah.
We'll be in the first exposure hall pretty much all day tomorrow. So.
Awesome.
Yeah,
fantastic.
All right.
Where's that located at?
It's Sagamore, right? It's Sagamore Ballroom, 136?
Through 9.
Yeah.
136 sounds like first floor.
It is first floor.
Oh, it's first floor.
Okay.
First floor.
It's outside.
Under Sagamore.
Some part of
you
the
go straight out of the vendors
okay.
into it. Yeah.
We'll find it.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. So we'll be there. I'll be at the 8 o'clock game. I don't expect.
I'm not going to be at the 8 o'clock game.
Yeah. They gave us that when they're like, if you will take the 8 o'clock game, we'll just give it to you. I'm like, all right. Thanks, guys.
See
Thanks
you.
A lot.
Thanks.